Order. Questions for oral answer, Mr. Edward Chia.
Question one, sir.
Sir, stores in our hawker centres provide an opportunity for Singaporeans to personally operate their own small food businesses at lower costs and provide affordable hawker food options. By personal operations, NEA requires hawkers to physically operate their stores. Now, the requirement for a hawker to personally operate the store is important as it prevents subletting. If this requirement is not imposed, the tenant who has successfully bid for the store could potentially just sublet the store and collect the difference in rent. It may encourage persons to bid for the store without the true intention of running the store, but only just to sublet it. If the tenant is unable to operate the store, he is expected to return the store to NEA, which will then release the store for other interested hawkers to bid for the store. This will give new hawkers a fair chance to enter the trade. The member asks whether there are circumstances where NEA exercises flexibility when hawker stallholders are temporarily unable to operate their stores. Indeed, in situations where a hawker is temporarily unable to operate the store for good reasons, for example, for medical reasons, he or she can appoint a joint operator or a nominee to operate the store during that period. In the event that the store has to close temporarily, NEA may even extend support through rental waivers. NEA supports hawkers who wish to expand their businesses by allowing individuals to hold up to 2 cooked food stores in our hawker centres, provided they are able to divide their time and operate the stores personally. Hawkers have also made use of other arrangements to grow their businesses. Some take on more stalls at hawker centres with their family members as the stallholders themselves, or sell their recipes to other stallholders who in turn successfully bidded for those stalls. Others continue to operate their stalls personally even as they expand their businesses to other establishments such as coffee shops and food courts. For those who are unable to personally operate their hawker stalls, they may relinquish their stalls or hand them over to a family member. There are also hawkers who enter into franchise arrangements where they can leverage established brands to start or grow their businesses. This is a good way for them to learn the ropes and enter the space of F&B. It is in this context that we sometimes see stores carrying the same brand across different hawker centres. NEA does not restrict such arrangements as long as registered stallholders in hawker centres are still able to fulfil the tenancy requirements by personally operating the stores. NEA generally does not allow corporates to bid directly for and operate hawker stores, as this could crowd up aspiring hawkers and run counter to our intent of providing opportunities for Singaporeans to run small food businesses. We have made some exceptions based on some social considerations. For example, operators of socially conscious enterprise hawker centres, the SEHCs, are allowed to run a small number of stores as part of their operations. But these operators are required to plough back at least 50% of any surpluses to benefit the centre and the stallholders, such as by providing shuttle services from transport nodes. So our hawker centres have played an integral role in nation building, and hawker culture has been an important part of our Singapore identity. We want our hawker centres to continue providing opportunities for Singaporeans to directly operate their own small food businesses. We will continue to support them as best as we can. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. So I'd like to ask follow-up 2 clarifications to SMS. So first of all, does the current rule of requiring hawkers to personally operate the stall actually have been effective in preventing unintended subletting? And has it actually unintentionally also discouraged genuine hawkers? In the case of hawkers who are actually intending to expand, can they actually reassign their stall lease to a business partner without the need to rebid or to reapply for their stalls? Second clarification is actually today for new hawkers to grow their business, they do actually have to invest in branding, they have to work on social media marketing, and some might also have set up their own central kitchen or true shared services. And many of these business activities requires them to be physically present elsewhere than physically present at their stall. My understanding is that today for a stallholder, they must actually operate minimum 8 hours, physically 8 hours, or in the case if they have 2 stalls, they have to be physically present in a store for 4 hours. Can the ministry exercise some flexibilities for hawkers who may need to be outside of the store because there are many other business activities that they have to operate? Thank you.
SMS Co.
So I thank the member for his questions. On his first question about personally operating the store, we believe that physical presence is actually the most practical and fair way of ensuring that the store is not subletted and the person is operating it personally. Because through these inspections, NEA is able to directly monitor whether stallholders physically operate their stores during the store's operating hours and assess whether there is subletting on the ground. The truth is, to catch subletting is not so easy because it is a private arrangement that can take place between the person who has bidded for the place but has no intention to run it and actually under the table could have been collecting subletting the store to someone else and profiting from rent. Now, as I said, we had actually let out our stores for actually sometimes below even market rate in terms of rent. And there are stores who actually are successfully bidded for as low as a dollar. What we don't want is for a subletter to then profit from the huge margin by actually extracting rent from a person who's actually interested to run the store and pass the cost subsequently to consumers. And if there's a way for us to catch it better, we would want. So if there's suspicions of subletting, NEA will follow up on feedback where possible. And nonetheless, NEA also understands that there are some stallholders who may need to actually be away for their stores for a short period of time to run quick errands, for example. Now, but in such cases, we will exercise flexibility and give these stallholders the ability to do so without taking any penalty actions on them. But on Mr. Chia's question about stallholders who have actually expanded their businesses to, say, central kitchens and, in fact, have many other food establishments elsewhere, I think if the person has already expanded his business beyond our hawker centres and is very successful and they have just no time to run the store themselves, I think it's only right that they actually relinquish the store to someone else who needs the space better and focus on their business instead. One option they could do so is to actually nominate their own family member to take over the store. This is something allowed under our policies. But to nominate the store to an unrelated person, that opens up the risk of actually someone basically then profiteering and buying whatever has been given to this person through a business transaction. And that's something that we will not allow.
Associate Professor James Lim.
Thank you. Could I just quickly clarify? SMS said that you will exercise flexibility. I had a resident, for instance, who had sought that flexibility by asking for a window by which he had to physically be present at the store for the inspections. But I understand, again, of course, that you want there to be some kind of spot checks to prevent this instance of subletting. But nevertheless, it seems like giving a window is a reasonable accommodation. Is that not something that is considered part of that flexibility?
SMS Co.
Sir, I don't know what case this member is talking about. There could be constraints on the ground. There could be individual circumstances. But there are place managers at each and every one of our hawker centres. So I do hope that there is a communication between the place manager and the hawker who may need some flexibility on the ground to do so. I believe our principle is to make sure that we allow flexibility where it's needed. But if it's time and again when the things are flouted and it's too much of a repeat ask, then I think it calls into the question whether that is a genuine need or whether there are some actions to try and circumvent our rules. So we have to take things on a case-by-case basis. But I would say that in the end, it really is about what we want, to see our hawker culture thrive. There are many successful hawkers who have actually done well and actually expanded their business outside of hawker centres, but yet they try their very best to run those one or two stores that they started their business with personally. But there are also those who have successfully branched out to other food and beverage establishments where there are no restrictions like what we have, and they have chosen to give up their hawker stores as well. So I think to be fair to all players, we have to respect the rules. Our aim is to encourage more small businesses to enter the hawker trade because of our low barrier to entry, but not allow chain players to start to dominate our hawker scene and change the texture and the authenticity of our hawker culture.
Last SQ, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Speaker, for your indulgence. Just want to, because I think SMS answered my first clarification. On my second clarification, where I shared that today, many of the new hawkers, they are also investing in time on social media marketing. They could be at a central kitchen preparing some of the ingredients. They could be doing deliveries to their customers, and they cannot be physically at their store. But today, some of the place managers are actively enforcing based on strict hours, for example, 8 hours if they have one stall, 4 hours if they have two stalls, will there be flexibility accorded in terms of the actual hours they are physically present? And how will this flexibility be consistent and fair throughout all NEA hawker centres? Thank you.
SMS call.
So I think this is something that I think we have to look at it with some sensitivity. Because as I said in my earlier reply to Member James Lim, if a member's business has grown to a size where they are actually unable to split their time properly and they have to focus their time more on the businesses outside the hawker centres, then I think it's time for them to really take a hard look and see where their main revenue source is coming from. I think they are grown to such a scale, they ought to focus on that. And they may have to give up that store in which we are giving them actually, to some extent, a lower rent and perhaps a lower barrier to entry to someone else who may need the space more. Right? I know there are members of the public who actually take this particular case that has surfaced in the internet recently in social media. I think you have engaged this particular hawker before, Mr. Norman Mubarak. He put up a social media post about his wife who's pregnant and is unable to run the store personally. But that is a very one-sided story because actually NEA has offered his wife to nominate another person to take over the store while she's undergoing pregnancy. But instead of actually accepting that as a legitimate option to do so, they decide to put on social media to try and say that we have been unhelpful, right? I would say that for individuals like Mr. Mubarak, who's actually running, I think, about 20 stalls outside of the NEA system. He has two to three stalls in NEA hawker centres, but up to, I think, 21 registered stalls in other food and beverage establishments. We're quite happy that hawkers like him have succeeded, but it is understandable that as a business owner, he wants to focus on his other business and try not to focus as much attention on the hawker stalls. But that's not something that we would want to, because we cannot allow our NEA hawker system to be catering to the interests of such private chain owners, right? So we need to make sure that there are opportunities for others to enter the trade as well. And let's remember that hawker centres are not just commercial spaces, but they are also community dining spaces with a social role. And we have invested in our hawker centres to provide affordable cooked food for Singaporeans while wanting to enable small food businesses to earn a reasonable living. So we have deliberately kept the barrier to entry low to allow many hawkers, including like Mr. Mubarak himself, to build a successful business and expand to other food and beverage establishments. So we have to maintain fairness because this is the important role that our hawker centres play. We're happy to see our hawkers succeed, but we must also prevent individuals from gaming the system by profiteering from subletting. So if we did not enforce these rules, what would the alternative be? Should we allow stores to be fully run by hired workers as businesses expand and they can't run the stores themselves? If so, hawker centres will become rather indistinguishable from coffee shops and food courts, eroding the authenticity. And over time, our hawker culture will be diluted, shifting from passionate hawkers serving their own dishes to our customers to businesses just prioritising efficiency and scale over heritage and quality. So we support technology adoption, be it central kitchen, be it marketing technology through social media, to improve, but what we want is to make sure that as they do so, they do not compromise and erode the culture that we are trying to protect and grow. So while we support technology to improve store-level efficiency, but we should not do so at the expense of our hawkers stepping away from running the store themselves and letting their workers just take over the day-to-day running and cooking of the food itself. Because if hawkers wish to extend to a chain model and become bigger, they have the option to move out of the hawker centres and do it at other F&B establishments where we do not impose restrictions. The reality, therefore, is that we need to balance between protecting our heritage, keeping the food affordable, and ensuring fair opportunities for new hawkers. So these are quite difficult to maintain if we do not have rules to manage. And it would have been far easier for NEA to let the hawker centres actually just operate like any other commercial outfits, such as food courts or hawker or coffee shops, without any restrictions on subletting or any business models that the operator wants to do. But that will mean losing what makes them really special today. So if Singaporeans are prepared to accept hawker food at price points, quality, and the business model just like any other coffee shop or food courts, then we could remove these restrictions and let the free market take its course. But for now, we believe these regulations will help ensure that hawker centres remain a place for authentic, accessible and culturally significant food experiences for Singaporeans.